Today Shem Sechta Zvachim Daf Chav Beis. We will begin on Daf Chav Aleph on the Beis, five lines from the bottom Gufa. The Gemara begins with actually with a halacha that we've already discussed previously. Gufa Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Kol Kiyush Ein Bo Kedei Kadesh Arba Kohanim Emeni. Any kiyur that's not large enough that four Kohanim could not do Kiddush Adayim Reglayim from it, Ein Mekatshim Bo, should not be used. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, "V'roch tzumena Moshe Aaron uvanav." Moshe is one, Aaron is two, uvanav is another two. It's for a total of four. As we discussed when we learned this halacha previously, Machloikis Rashi and Rambam had to understand this rule. Rashi explains that the rule here is referring to the size of the kir, but doesn't speak to the amount of water the kir has to have in it to be considered kosher. The Rambam, on the other hand, learns that we're speaking here about the actual amount of water, minimal amount of water that needs to be in the kir, and that the Rambam says, the Gemara is teaching us, it has to have minimally the sheer of water that four kahanim can be mekadosh yadayim v'raglayim from that amount of water. Although there are Rishonim that explain in the opinion of the Rambam, and we'll discuss this more later, Be'ezer Hashem, that if the Kiyar begins with that amount of water, even though it doesn't have that amount of water later on, since it started the day with that amount of water, it's acceptable. Furthermore, as Machloikas Achroinim, if this din is only Lechatchila, that's the way the Kiyar should be, or is it even B'diyevet? Also, and we mentioned this previously too, V'roch tzumena Moshe v'Aaron u'banav, some farshim say, what day was there where both Moshe and Aaron and Banav all did the Avodah? Because where Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah during the Shiva Shimei Meluim, Aaron and his children did not. When Aaron and his children did the Avodah starting Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Moshe Rabbeinu no longer did the Avodah. So the simplest way of learning the Gemara, and that's perhaps the way we should learn, is that the Gemara is saying that this is sort of a Gzeres HaKosef. Moshe is one, Aaron is two, Banav, the minimum amount of Banav means two, and that's where we get to the number four. Because we're going to try to start coming up with a scenario where all four of them work, we won't have such a scenario that they all worked. On the contrary, Moshe didn't work together with Aaron and his children, but on the first day, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Aaron had all four sons still working, and only later in the day did, unfortunately, Nadav and Avihu pass away. Others say that Moshe did work on that day, Aaron did work on that day, and Banav, even though he had, as we just said, all four sons working on that day, but the Torah only refers to two for two reasons I saw. One explanation is because since two sons ultimately did not survive, the Torah doesn't count them, one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that if the Torah meant all of his children, the Torah should have used the word v'kol banav. The fact that the Torah uses the words banav, it only means two. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in the Braisa, kol ha-keilim mekatshin, ben shesh ben revius, ben shein ben revius. It makes no difference what size the keil he is, or v'ad shei kli shareis, as long as it's a kli shareis. So here we're seeing that it doesn't require to have a minimal shear, unlike what we began the shear with today. As long as it's a klisha race, it's enough. So Rashi points out that pshat in this Gemara is that when it comes to Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, as long as it's a klisha race, it's good enough. But when it comes to Netilas Yadayim, there you have to have a shear of a revius. That's how Rashi learns. And the question that the Mefarshim try to understand in learning the Gemara that way is why are we more machmer when it comes to Netilas Yadayim versus Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? That by Netilas Yadayim, we're saying it has to have that minimal revius shear, and by Klisharis, it doesn't have to have that shear. So I saw two reasons. One reason is because even though it doesn't have the shear, but it's still a Klisharis. Whereas when you're using a regular cup to wash your hands, So it's not a klisharis, so there at least you have to have the minimal amount of a revius. Another pshat that I saw the Mefarshim suggest is that the chiyuv, as we've been learning, of Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim, is a chiyuv d'oraisa. So since a chiyuv d'oraisa, Chazal aren't concerned that it should not be done properly. But whenever we deal with Rabbanon, Chazal were more concerned. Given that Netilas Yadayim is a chiyuv d'Rabbanon, Chazal wanted to make sure it should be performed properly, and that's why one of the rules they said is that it should be at least the size of a revius. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that by Netilas Yadayim, the halacha is that it has to have a revius, as is the same, that's how they explain the Gemara, as will be the halacha by Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim. But what the Gemara here means is that by both of them, as long as you start with a revius, it makes no difference that you don't have a revius later on. Of course, the Chavetz Chaim in the Likutei Halachos explains that if our Gemara is saying that you don't have to have a revius is not that much water in the first place. So how are you supposed to wash your hands and feet if you don't have a revius? It says the Gemara is not discussing the washing the hands of the feet. Of course, washing hands and feet, you'll have to keep on refilling it to get the right amount of water. The question is, how much water must there minimally be in the kiyar or in the klishars? Very interesting machloikis, Rambam and Ramban. The Ramban says that a kiyar you don't have to use a kiyar. You could use a klisharis to wash, to do the Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim. And the Rabban has two rais. One rai is our Gemara. It says as long as it's a klisharis, it doesn't say it has to be the kiyar. Another rai the Ramban has, as we've discussed earlier in our perek, that we know that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh 5 times, and the Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim 10 times. And when you look in the Gemara in Masechta Yuma that describes the avodah of Yom Kippurim, it clearly says that he did it from a ketan shel zahav. He didn't do the Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim from the kiyar, he did it from a ketan shel zahav. Clearly indicating that it must not be done necessarily from the kiyar. The Rambam paskins that it has to be done from the kiyar. So the Rambam is indeed difficult to understand. We have two very strong rayas. The Ramban has two great rayas. How does the Rambam address those rayas? So when it comes to speaking about the raya from the avoda of Yom Kippur, I sort of mefarshim defend the Rambam as follows. Even though, as we said, the Mishnah Masechta Yuma says that the Kohen did Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim many times on Yom Kippur from Akita and Shilzov, that was not the first Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim that he began the day with. The first Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim that he began the day with, he did from the Kiyar. So the Rambam will agree to that klisharis can be used, but not for the first Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim, it's only for the follow-up Kiddush Yadayim Reglayims. That's how that Gemara is answered. But we still have our Gemara. Our Gemara clearly says, Ovad Shei Klisharis, as long as it's Klisharis, it's good enough. Why does the Rambam say it has to be the Kiyar? So I saw, and I'm specifically saying this verse now as an introduction to the next line of the Gemara, I saw from Rav Scheinberg Shlita from Yerushalayim a beautiful explanation. It's really a brisk rav. He explains as follows. There are two concepts in the Kiyar. One concept is that the water that's used to do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim has to be in the kiyar, because by being in the kiyar, it's in a klisharis, and it obtains a certain level of kedusha. Then there's another halacha, that you have to wash your hands when you're pouring the water onto the hands and feet of the kohen. It has to be from a klisharis. Says Rav Scheinberg, that's pshat in the Rambam. When the Gemara says here, uvavachei klisharis, it isn't speaking about what you wash your hands from. What the Gemara means, he says, is that the first the water was in the kiyar, according to the Rambam, got the kedusha it's supposed to get from the kiyar, and after it's in the kiyar, then it's poured into a klisharis, and the kohen washes his hands and feet from the klisharis. But according to the Rambam, the original kedusha must be in a kiyar. But again, our question that we began this year now with is we began this year indicating that there's a minimal shear of the kir. And here it says there is none. Answers the Gemara, Arav Adabar Acha, B'kadeich B'taychei. Achlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what does B'kadeich B'taychei mean? Rashi explains, B'kadeich B'taychei, is that they inserted a tube into the kir, and that tube doesn't, and that's how the water went from the kiyar to the hands and feet of the kayin, and that tube doesn't have a revius, but that's why it's still fine, because you started with a kiyar that has the minimal shear. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, what the Gemara means by kadech b'taychei, very much along what we just discussed, you start with a kiyar, but they didn't pour the water directly from the kiyar onto the hands and feet of the kayin. They put it into a cup, and that cup doesn't have a minimal shear. Ask the Gemara from a menu Amarachmana. Ask the Gemara, and again, there's a machlokes how to understand this question. Some say that the Gemara's question is that how can we say that you could use a klisharis when the Torah says the words mimenu, which means you have to use the kiyar. That's one way of understanding. The other way of understanding the Gemara is, how could you say that you're not using the kiyar itself when the Torah says that you have to use the kiyar itself? Really, the question depends on which pshat you learn, like Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, the question's on the braisa, because according to Rashi, you are using the kiyar. According to Tosfos' understanding, when you're not using the actual kiyar, so the Gemara's question's on the teretz of b'kadeich b'taychai. Answers the Gemara, Amak Rachmana, the Torah used the extra word regarding the kiyar of yirchatzu. The rabbis klisharis, that any klisharis is acceptable. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if any keli is acceptable, maybe even klichol nami, why do you have to use a klisharis? Maybe you could use any keli. Answers the Gemara, I'm a bai klichol ematzav amrit. There's no way you could say that a klichol should be acceptable. Why? Because we can make the following kavachaymer. It's interesting. We've been discussing for a number of days the kir. But we know when the Torah speaks about the kiyar, the Torah also speaks about the kanoi. The kanoi is the base of the kiyar. The kanoi. Ma kanoi, says the Gemara, she nimshech imai. The kanoi is also a keli that's built together with the kiyar. Machloikus rishonim, how the kanoi looked, the base looked. The simplest pshat, which is Rashi's pshat, is like a bowl. And the kiyar was in that bowl. Others say it was a like a turned over box. It's a little difficult to understand based on what we're going to say. If the kanei that was sanctified together with the kir, ain't a makadish, you still can't use the kanei to do kiddush yadayim reglayim. Again, the mefarshim say the word nimshach doesn't mean nimshach, because we know that the shemen hamishcha was actually hidden during the bayis rishon. So in future years, Avodasa Mechan Chesram, it wasn't Dafka Mashiach or the Shevet HaMishcha that made the Klisharis holy, but the point is that it's made together with the Kiyar. Ein HaMekadosh, you can't do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim from it. Klichol, Sheinan Nimshechimah, so just to take a regular cup that has no Kedusha, nothing to do with the Kiyar, Ein HaMekadosh, you can't do Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim from it. The kanoi, ask the Gemara, we're making an assumption that you can't use the kanoi for kiddush yadayim reglayim. Ask the Gemara, kanoi menolan, from where do we know indeed that that is the din, that you can't use the kanoi for kiddush yadayim reglayim? Answers the Gemara, the Tanya, Yehuda Omer, yachol ye kanoi mekadosh. One would assume that the kanoi could do kiddush yadayim reglayim. Kederach shekir mekadosh, you could do kiddush yadayim reglayim out of the kanoi, just like you do it out of the kir. Tam loimer, the pasuk says, Vasisa kia nechayshis, vikara nechayshis, le nechayshis a kihashtiv, the only common characteristic the kir and kanoi have is that they're both made out of copper, v'loyla davar acher, not in any other way. Mefarshim explained that the word hekashtiv doesn't usually mean the regular definition. Usually hekashtiv means a hekish. It has nothing to do with a hekish. What it means is they're only similar in this way, in no other way. Says the Sfasemis, what's pshat? He says, if the Torah meant that the kir and the kanoi should both be a kli sharis from which you could do kiddush yadayim reglayim, then what should the Torah have said? The Torah should have said, vasisa kir v'kanoi nechayshis. Why does the Torah say, vasisa kir nechayshis v'kanoi nechayshis? using the word Nechosha separately for the Kir and the Kanai. To teach us that the Kir and Kanai aren't the same. The Kir you could use for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. The Kanai make from Kapper, but you can't use it for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Omalei Mazut Bereder of Mary Leravina. Ma'al Kanai. You know why perhaps the Kanai cannot be used for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? She'nosu L'toichai. It's not made for that. It's not made to be a cup from a bowl from which you pour water. But perhaps, timer b'klicho, if you'll have a washing cup that's made to wash from, she'osu l'toichai, maybe it can be used for kiddush yadayim raglayim. Ella, says the Gemara, mimenu. The Torah uses the words mimenu, it's a miyat l'mutei klicho, to exclude a klicho that cannot be used for kiddush yadayim raglayim. Ask the Gemara, if we have this miyat, yachi klisharis nami, then perhaps also klisharis should be excluded. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Rachmana Yirchatsu. The Gemara already said a moment ago that the word Yirchatsu is a ribui, and it's marba, it comes to include all klisharis. Ask the Gemara Marisa. So what we have here is as follows. We have the word Yirchatsu, which is a ribui, and we're using that word to teach us that a klisharis, any klisharis can be used. We have the word memanu to teach us that it's a miut and it comes to exclude a klichal. Ask the Gemara Marisa. What does Marisa mean? Maybe just the opposite. Maybe be marba a klichal and maybe be mamat a klisharis. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. If anybody had any basic logic, I have one pasuk of a ribui and I have one pasuk of a miut. If I asked anybody, what would you say is more likely to be usable? A klisharis or klichol? You don't have to be a huge Talmud Chacham to say, obviously, klisharis. What's the Gemara's kasha? That maybe it's coming to be marba klichol and exclude a klisharis. What's the logic? So the Farshim say, beautiful pshat. They didn't just manufacture klisharis in the Beis Hamikdash to have a stock of klisharis. Every klisharis served a purpose. So the Gemara's question is Gishmak. Maybe each of the klisharis serve a very unique purpose. And they're not here for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. They have whatever purpose they're there for. A klichol, a washing cup, is a washing cup. It's used for washing. And therefore the Gemara's question is great. A washing cup you should use because it's made for washing. A klisharis, it's not made for washing. It's made for whatever purpose it was made. And maybe that's why the klisharis should not be used. And the klichol should be used. Indeed, we have a ribi miut, but attribute the ribi miut that way. Answers the Gemara still. Zeh tam mishich kamo, zeh ein tam mishich kamo. The fact that this is a klisharis and it has that strong common denominator with the kiyar, and this isn't, is the overriding issue. We all know that a mikvah has to have a bamsah of rainwater. There are certain liquids that aren't pure rainwater that are mashlama mikvah to be considered 40 saw to have the minimum 40 saw of kosher water to be a kosher mikvah. Mishnah in Perek Zayin of Mikvahs, it's the perek that people learn when somebody has yahrzeit, says the Gemara, Amar Reish Lakish, kala mashlama mei mikvah, any water, the Mishnah mentions the habarad is hail, Hashelig, snow, any liquid that's acceptable to get you to, if you have a mikvah of 39 saw, and this is the 40 saw, it's fine. Mashlam makir could also be used to have the minimal amount of water you need to have in the kir, we began the shear with. However, the revius ain't a mashlam. When we speak about a revius, and again, this is Rashi's pshat, and this is the pshat we're going to work with, you need to have a revius in your cup that you're washing the tilas. You're dying with, you have to have a revius of water. You can't have any of these other liquids. There are Rishayim that want to say different pshat. That's the pshat we're going to work with. Lamutimai. Ask them, what liquid are we trying to, what liquid is different by a kir and a mikvah versus by the tilas you're dying? Ilem lamutitit hanodok, muddy water. Ask the Gemara, what are we talking about? Hey Chidami, exactly what are we discussing? Either paras shoychav shoysu menu, if it's muddy, but it's still drinkable by a cow, then a fila revius nami. Then it's fine even for Natilas Yadayim. Vi ain parish shaykh of a shaykh of a menu. If it's so muddy that a cow wouldn't drink it, a fila of the mikveh nami any mashlam. It can't be used for a mikveh either. 2 points to make. The Prima Gadim says, this is a new shear, water that a cow could drink. We always have water that a kelev. So he says it's the same shear. Whenever we have in Shulchan Aruch kelev, para, it's all the same. 1 point the Prima Gadim makes. Another point that they make is if you have, the Rishonim discuss, you have this muddy water mixed into your mikveh, in order to be able to be toivel at any water of that mikveh, you have to completely mix it up, that it should be all liquidy, not one, that the muddy water should be in one spot. So that can't be what Rosh Lakish is referring to. Ella says the one what was referring to, Yefchushim Adumim. Yefchushim Adumim are such small insects that come from the water. Ask the Gemara, Afil Bainai Nami. Yefchushim Adumim are considered halachically as water. The Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Kol Shetchilas Bruyosim Ramayim, anything that comes from the water, Matbilimba, is considered water, and you could use it for a mikveh, and you could also use it for Netilas Yadayim. And as the Gilyam Ashah in Shulchan Aruch explains this Gemara, he says that we know when we go back to Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, people, animal, the Pasuk says we're created offer, we're created from the earth. Anything that comes out of the sea, from the ocean, was created from water. So he explains that these Yafchushim Adumim, that's what the Gemara is saying, were created from the water, and therefore they have the status of water. Of course, the Ramah says they only have the status of water when they're liquefied. You can't have a whole insect and you'll have a mikveh full of these insects and say you went to the mikveh. D'atanya, Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Kol Shetchilas Briyosim Ramayim, anything that originated as water, Matbilimbo has a din of water. Again, here the Faiskim debate, is it in all the areas of Halacha, is it only for Netilas Yadayim and for a mikveh? Vamer Rav Yitzchok Bar Avdimi, because it is, Matbilimbo Ein Shaldag. You could go and do, you could, if you have the sacket of a fish and you liquefy it, you could use it as a mikveh. So again, what is the case the Rish Lakish is referring to? Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, the Muti Nosun Sa V'Notel Sa. The Tanan, Mikveh Shesh by Mem Sa Mechuvanis. As I said earlier, the proper shear of a mikveh is exactly 40 Sa. Nosun Sa V'Notel Sa Hareza Kasha. Again, that perek in Masechta Mikvos discusses the following situation. It discusses a situation where you started with a mikveh that had the proper shear. You had 40 saw of a proper mikveh. Now you let, and I'm going to use the example that the Mishnah uses. You added a saw of milk. You added a saw of wine. I'm going to stick to milk because when you start with wine, you have issues of shinimara, changing the colors. I want to avoid shinimara. We'll talk about milk. So the Mishnah says that let's say you put in an extra saw of milk. You have 41 saw. Let's make it easy to understand. Then you put in, let's say, 2 saw of milk. So now you have a mikveh of 42 saw. When you take out 2 saw, how much are you going to be taking out? You're not going to be taking out just milk. It's going to be, mathematically, statistically, we assume you take it out the proportion. So when you're going to take out this much saw from the mikveh, you're not going to have 40 saw of water here anymore. So the halach is that it's still kasher. It's still kasher for a mikveh until hareza kasher. Until when can you do so? Amar of Yehuda Bashela, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yoichanan, Adruba. You could do it for 19 saw. So you still have here 20 saw, 21 saw of water. But if you take a more than 19 saw, then the mikveh becomes possible. So the Mefarshim asked, this is a very important question to those that learn Yerideya, why don't we say kama bottle? Every saw as you put it in becomes bottle. So what's the difference if you have the whole mikveh that way? So I say a very important concept in Hilchus Bittul. Hilchus Bittul has to work with statistics. So at the end of the day, yeah, we'll say kama kama bottle. But if you have a mikveh that was mostly milk, and you kept on extracting, the water, you're going to have, at the end of the day, mostly milk. And milk isn't a mikveh. Says the Gemara, that is what Rish Lakish meant. That when it comes to a mikveh, or when it comes to the kir, you could do notl saw, v'nosin saw. When it comes to Netilas Yadayim, we said you have to have a cup, minimally of a revius. You can't do that. I'll put in a little milk and exchange it, take it out, and then I should start with a revius and then put in milk and then take out milk. There it has to be a full-fledged revius. Why? Why? So the simplest teretz that I saw in the Mefarshim is very simple. When you have 40 saw, and you add in a saw of milk, and then you take out a whole saw, which is a combination of a mixture of everything you had in the mikveh, it's not noticeable that anything really changed. Until you did it so many times, like the Gemara said, that it becomes noticeable. When you start off with a revius, and as I said earlier in the shiur, the revius is really not that much. If you're going to start off with a revius, and you're going to put in even a small amount, but there it's noticeable, and that's what Chazal or Machmer, that you have to have a revius, you have to be sure to have a revius of water to do Netilas Yadayim properly. Interesting question. Open up a Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Netilas Yadayim, and look what the Shulchan Aruch says can be used for Netilas Yadayim. There's no less than three opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. The first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is that for Netilas Yadayim, for eating, for washing, you have to have a revius of water. Very much consistent with what we're learning in our Gemara today. But then the second opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is that you could use any liquid as long as it's not wine. The Ramah is the third opinion. He's even more makel. He says you could use wine as long as it's white wine, not red wine. Ask the Shalos HaTshuvos Panim Meiris. Didn't they learn our Gemara? Our Gemara says you have to use water. So how's the Gemara saying, how's the Shulchan Aruch allowing us to use all these other liquids? So he answers. He doesn't answer. The Aruch HaShulchan answers. The Gemara is saying the same thing. The Aruch HaShulchan says that our Gemara should not be understood to say that the only beverage, the only liquid that can be used is water. What the Gemara here is saying is that whatever liquid could be used for the Netilas Yadayim, you have to use that liquid, and you can't use notl saw and nosin saw. But it doesn't mean it has to be water. And that's why there are opinions in the Shulchan Aruch that you don't have to necessarily use water. Of course, one should use water. Now says the Gemara, another halach in Hilchas Mikvos. Omra papa, im kadach bar revius, matbilim bar machtem vitsinoiris, hoil umechshere de mikveh asya. Which means as follows. Again, it's a world that we don't live in. They lived in a world that Tumah Tahara was a very big part of their lives. Tumah Tahara affected everything you had. You had a needle at home. Your wife needed a needle. That needle had to be tar. If your needle becomes tummy, you have to take it to the mikveh. If you're going to take your needle to the mikveh, you're going to lose that needle if you put it into the mikveh. Because you can't hold it, because otherwise it's a chatzitza. If you let go, it's going to fall. You're only going to find them when the next person goes into the mikveh and it goes into his foot. So, what did they do? Says the Gemara that there's a takanas chazal that if you start off with a mikveh that has the proper shear, and then above the water level, it's a big chiddush, above the water level of the mikveh, you make a hole in the wall of the mikveh where you have a revius of mikveh water there. You could be toivel the needle by putting it on that, in that hole, and it'll be fine. For the record, again, it's not that relevant because we're not toivel Caleb. We are toivel Caleb. So let's say you have a very small Caleb, you need a toivel. You shouldn't do this. Chazal u'mevatel, this takana. The Shulchan Aruch says we don't do this. You have to be toivel in a full-fledged mikveh, any Caleb. Says the Gemara. Amar b'yimri amar ish lakish. May mikveh. Any mikveh water, we know that in many places the Torah requires that we use mayim chayim. Mayim chayim means spring water, but a paraduma, the ashes of the paraduma were mixed with mayim chayim. Says Rish Lakish, for the kiyar you could use any mikvah water, you don't have to use mayim chayim. Lememra, the loy mayim chayim nenu. Ask the Gemara Tanya. The Braisa says, the Braisa here is discussing the halacha that after they shechted a behema, a carbon, and they did Kabbal Saddam, they had to wash the animal. Actually, we'll learn these halachas later in the Masechta. They actually washed the intestines, which were dirtier, separately from the other organs of the animal, because intestines are particularly dirty. So Mara, in explaining the Braisa, in explaining that halacha, says, B'mayim v'lo b'yayin, you can't use wine to wash them. B'mayim v'lo b'mozik, you can't even use diluted wine. B'mayim l'rabbis sharmayim, that any water could be used to wash those. Kerev v'krayim v'kavachoyma l'mekir. And certainly, says the Braisa, you could use mekir. My kavachoyma. If the Braisa is saying that you could use any water, even mekir, that means the mekir has something the regular water doesn't have. What is it? Lav de mayim chayinenu. Isn't what makes mekir more than all other water? Is that regular water doesn't necessarily come from a spring, and kir water comes from a spring. So isn't the saraya from this braisa that kir water came from the spring? Loi. But the difference between mekir and all other water is not that it comes from a spring. The kaddish, it's mayim kadoshim, it's holy water versus water from the tap. Ask the Gemara if that's what the Braisa is saying, that you could use regular water, and certainly you could use kir water, which is holy, which is kaddish. Is that a maila? The kaddish mal yusahu? Ask the Ravatana, Rishmol, mayim, the only Rishmol, mayim, only water that can be used to wash is she'en lei shem levai. Water that's only called water. Yotza mekir shem shem levai. It's not just called water. It's called mayim kedoshim. Other rishonim say it's called mekir el rav. Again, what must the braisa mean? The royal mekir. It doesn't mean mekir. Mekir is not kosher because it's not real plain water. It's mayim kedoshim. It's mekir. What the braisa means is that water that can be used for the kir certainly can be used to wash the kerev kiraim. What is unique about the water that can be used for the kir? That it comes from a spring. Says the Gemara, indeed. According to this braisa, it's clear that water that was used in the mekir was mayim chayim. But tanaihi, it's a machloikis tanom, and Rish Lakish is following the other opinion. Domer Rabbi Yochanan, mekir, what could water do you need to use for the mekir? Rabbi Shmuel Amar Meimayin, it has to be water from a spring. Chamayim Shemayim saying any water could be used. And that, the Rish Lakish is following the opinion of the Chachamim. Up to the point that I saw some of Farshim ask, now that the Gemara says it's a machloikis of Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim, so it's obvious that you're passing like the Chachamim. So what does Rabbi Shmuel have to tell us? That's the halacha. Whenever we have Yochav Rabbim, halacha Rabbim, Mepharshim say, the only terrors that I saw the Mepharshim say is that this Braisa that Rabbi Yochanan quotes is not found in Taurus Kahanim. So if it was a Braisa that was well known, so it's obvious that we're following the opinion of the Chachamim. This Braisa is not a Braisa that's well known. That's why we needed to say that it follows the opinion of the Chachamim. Oral. So the next person that the Mishnah mentioned, Meinat Uri Avoida, and disqualifies the void as an oral, someone who didn't have a milah. And as I quoted when we learned the Mishnah, Machlokes Rishonim, who is an oral? Rashi says, an oral is a person who didn't have a milah, any person who didn't have a milah, no matter what the reason was, even if it was a medical reason, Mesa Echa Machmas Milah. Taisa says an oral is only such an individual who deliberately did not have a milah. Menolon, Amar of Chizda, Davaz Ebataris Moshe Rabbeinu Loi Lamanu. We don't notice from a pasuk in the Chumash, but Divrei Yecheskel ben Buzi Lamadna. The pasuk says, "Kaben Necher, Aral Leiv, Varal Basar, Lo Yova and Migdashi L'Shaseini." So they said the pasuk says clearly that these individuals are disqualified. Umnali the Machle Avoda. How do you know that they're so disqualified that if they do the Avoda, they disqualify it? The Ksib Evi Achem Bnei Necher, Areli Leiv, Areli Basar, Liyos B'Migdashi. They profane the avodah. Tan Rabbanan. So the Gemara explains this pasuk. The Pasuk says ben necher, yochel, ben necher mamish. I would think it's actually a guy. Tam loimer aralev. Im kam ma tam loim ben necher. To teach us, shnes nakru mais of avish b'shmaim. Who's disqualified? Somebody who's a mumer, he's an apikiris. Ask the mefarshim, why do we need a pasuk to teach us that a necher, a goy, is disqualified? A goy is an oral. An oral, we're saying, is disqualified. Why do we need a special pasuk for the necher? It's a very nice pshat. A Jew who didn't have a mila is an issue. An akum doesn't have to have a mila. So we can't have a claim against him, why didn't you have a mila? So that's all you have to say, that a necher is a separate chiddush. So now the Gemara is saying, Mishnas nakru masov loviv shabshmayim, somebody who's a mumer. Very big machlokes here. Mishnas nakru masov loviv shabshmayim, who is in that category? Some Rishonim learn, somebody who deliberately violates a mitzvah in the Torah is considered a mumer. Others say it's specifically avodah zarah. If somebody is a mumer l'avodah zarah, he's disqualified from doing the avodah. Furthermore, very big machlokes, let's say you have somebody who was a mumer. Let's say you have somebody who was a mumer. But Baruch Hashem, he does tshuva. Is he remained disqualified? Some Rishonim, I saw three opinions. Some Rishonim say, no, everybody could do tshuva. Others say that, no, he could do tshuva, but he still can't come to the avodah once he was a mumer. And others wanted to make a difference between avodah zarah and all other avodahs. That if he was Ovid Avodah Zarah, even if he Baruch Hashem did tshuva, he can't be brought back to doing the Avodah. Other Averis, besides Avodah Zarah, if he did them and he did tshuva, then he can't do the Avodah. The Chassidish Sfarim, the Tver Shleim, the Devar Yisrael, say, what's Pshat Ben Necham Mishnas Nakru Masav Lovish B'Shemayim? He says, what is the mark of an observant Jew? The mark of an observant Jew is that everything he does is L'Shem Shemayim. B'chadur Checha De'ehu. Mishnas Nakru Masav Lovish Shemayim. He stops thinking of God and the actions that he's doing. That's a mumer. Vainly Ela Aralev. That talks about a mumer. Oral Bas Minayin. How do we know that an oral Bas is also disqualified? Tamaloyma V'aral Bas. Says the Gemara B'tzrichi. We need a pasuk for Aralev and Aral Bas. And as Ramosh and Igris Moshe explains, what's the Gemara saying? What the Gemara saying is that Aral Lev and Aral Basar are both in the category of a Necher. So anybody who's in the category of a Necher is disqualified. Why must they be mentioned separately? But Tzrichi. Dikas Rachman Aral Basar Vishum Damas. Somebody who has an Orlitz, doesn't have a Mila, is Mos. Aval Aral Lev, the Loy Mos. Somebody who's an Aral Lev, he had a Mila. So he isn't physically Mos. Emaloi, he's not disqualified. V'yashmin ha'ra leiv, v'shin de'ein libel of shemayim. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't observe the mitzvahs properly. Aval orabosel, especially if we follow Rashi's pshat, it was just an accident that he didn't have the mila. De libel of shemayim. Emaloi, maybe he should not be disqualified. Tzrichi, we have to have a pasuk for both of them. Interesting Meshachachma. Meshachachma quotes a pasuk. We all know the pasuk. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu to do the Mila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Hasalech Lefonai Vayei Samim. So Rashi says, Vayei Samim, that until you have the Mila, you're a Baal Mum. So ask the Meshech Chachma, why do we have to have an entire discussion in our Gemara? Why an Oral is disqualified? An Oral is a Baal Mum. We already learned that a Baal Mum is disqualified. So Chaim Kinyeski, I saw, says that indeed, according to the Meshech Chachma, an oral doing the avodah is over two lavim. One is because he's a baal mum, like the Meshech Chachma says, and one is because the gemara that we learned today. That's how the Reb Chaim Kanievsky learned. Other mefarshim I saw say different pshat. Let's look at Rashi again. Hasalech lefanai vayei samim. Kol zman shata lamol ata baal mum lefanai. He's not a regular baal mum. He's only baal mum klape shmaya. But klape other people, he's not a baal mum. So therefore, he's not included in the category of Baal Mum. We have to have a separate pasuk. Interesting shaila that comes up. It's machlok achronim, not earlier achronim. Is if somebody is an oral, may he duchen. Nesias kapayim for an oral. or and according to our Gemara, it's even for a mumer, and certainly for somebody who doesn't have a mila, is he allowed to have nesias kapayim? As I said, the Magen Avraham says that nesias kapayim is an avoida, and you can't have an oral to have nesias kapayim. The Bach, the Pri Chodesh, disagree, and they say that the comparison is not necessary. Nesias kapayim not necessarily in the category of avoida. Our Gemara is focused on avoida. As I said, the Mishnah Berurah says certainly for somebody who's about tshuva, even though we had a discussion earlier, if about tshuva is allowed to do the avoida, for nesias kapayim you could allow about tshuva to do the avoida, to do nesias kapayim. Interesting tshuva that I saw related to our Gemara, tshuva from the Michas Yitzchak, where a rav came to him and asked him that a chassan came to him to be Masada Kedushin at his wedding, and he became aware that this chassan never had a bris milah. The similar question that he discusses in that very same tshuva is that somebody wants to have a bar mitzvah in the shul with the bar mitzvah bachar getting an aliyah, and they found out that this boy never had a bris milah. And again, we're not talking about a medical situation. They just never did a bris milah. Are you allowed to give him an aliyah? Are you allowed to be Masada Kedushin? So he quotes Rav Cheskel Abramsky. He has a very interesting approach. The Gemara Masechta Kedushin says it many times that if the father doesn't do a bris milah, it becomes the responsibility of Bezdin. It becomes the responsibility of the community. Bezdin means the community. So he says, nowadays, if let's say there was somebody who didn't do a bris milah for his son, so the community, the Jewish community, the OU, would go try to do a bris milah for that child. We'd all be in jail. Right? You take a kid and you circumcise him without his parents' permission. That's terrible. So it says, what the Gemara says, many places, that Bezdin does a bris milah, that we can't do. But this Bezdin still has a responsibility to make sure that everybody has a bris milah. So this is the way we can make sure he has a bris milah. If we refuse to marry him, we refuse to give him an aliyah, that's pshat, the Bezdin makes a bris milah b'zman hazeh.